Take me out to the hollow sweet. Take me out to the crowd. You don't know the words. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. D-Swift's Nine is mighty fine. D-Swift.
Are you insane?
They are insane.
You're in the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
Inaccurate. But meant frosting.
It does like you.
How you doing, Mike?
That man is bereft of passion and imagination.
Mr. Kim.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
Let the lesson begin.
You're carving us up like a roast.
To the Horatio, gentlemen.
The Horatio.
All right, so this is sort of an impromptu podcast that I'm putting together here. I was going to do it on a Star Trek The Animated Series podcast, but then my son, Kiernan McCafferty, enticed me to watch a Deep Space Nine episode, which he's become fast an aficionado and an expert on. And we started watching it on the car ride home from his school, and then we finished up tonight. And I was going to go into the garage spider cave alone here tonight. But I mentioned I was going to do the podcast, and Kiernan said, I want to join you. So I'm joined here by the next generation of podcasters, Mr. Kiernan McCafferty. Kiernan, how are you?
I'm really tired. How about you, Dad?
I'm awake. But Kiernan is tired. He's had a long day of school. He does about 12 hours of schooling, driving there, driving back. But that doesn't matter, because Star Trek never sleeps.
Star Trek never sleeps.
That's what we're talking about. So Kiernan, what episode did we watch tonight?
Take Me Out to the Hollow Suite.
Take Me Out to the Hollow Suite. Yes. Sometimes my jokes fall a little flat on this generation.
That was so bad.
No, that's exactly what it's a play on. It's a play on Take Me Out to the Ballgame. Now, Kiernan said, Dad, you've never seen this before? And I have seen it before, but it's been about 25 years ago. Or maybe a little bit earlier. And at the time when I watched it, I was not that impressed. I didn't like it. Maybe we'll get into it a little later, but why don't we dig into this a little bit right now? Shall we, Kiernan?
Shall we?
So this is sort of a bodily episode in plot. Now, Deep Space Nine was sort of a slave to their serialized plots. And right now they're in Season 7, Dominion War, all in. And then, like, the fourth episode of this climactic season, they decide to spend an entire episode playing baseball. Which is kind of the problem with serialized shows, which is that anything that appears, like, becomes somewhat derivative or is, like, is not on target, staying on target, and that one's for Jason. Star Wars, Kiernan. Star Wars.
What?
So Kiernan actually hasn't seen the original Star Wars.
Okay.
Is that right or no?
No, it's right. Of course I've seen, like, parts of it, because sometimes Dad, like, puts it on and then, it, like, I watch half of it and then I leave to the other room. But, like...
Jason's going to kill you. He was literally going to consume you for not even wanting to watch Star Wars. This is amazing. But it doesn't matter, because Kiernan loves Star Trek and he's made the right choice in life. but he loves this episode of Take Me Out to the Hollow Suite. Why do you love it, Kiernan? Tell me.
Well, I think I like it just because it's a break from the Dominion War.
Okay.
And it's, like, it feels a lot more like TNG.
Why is that?
Because it's much more, like, not even in tone, just, like, it's actually so much more brighter. I can see stuff. In Deep Space Nine, I can't see anything.
So, like, Dark Space Nine.
Yeah, I can't see a thing in Deep Space Nine, but it was really refreshing to, like, be in, like, an open space, and also it's I think it's just really good. Like, everyone is having a fun time, and it seems like they all want to do this. The actors.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm punching this up right now. So, you have stumbled across one of the things, is that Deep Space Nine, in contrast to The Next Generation, they wanted it to be darker.
Yeah.
Now they took that literally, and they decided to make everything super dark in the space station. It's like, this is like the darkest space station. And then for Voyager, you know, it's like the lights are somewhere in between.
Yeah.
They're not as bright as TNG, but they're not like pitch black like Deep Space Nine, where it's like, okay, I can't see where I'm going, you guys. You have to light this scene. And then Enterprise, they just kind of did what, you know, they kind of did something different. But you're right. This episode is such a stark contrast to most of the Deep Space Nine episodes. And again, for me, when I was watching it, I kind of had a negative feel to it because it felt like it was just like a filler episode. It was like, well, we've got 22 episodes. We have 10 episodes where we know what's going to happen in the story. What are we going to do for these next 12? How are we going to fill 12 additional episodes? Which was the problem with serialized television. Shows like X-Files and Deep Space Nine in the 90s where they knew they wanted to tell a long story, but they were slaves to the 22-episode kind of contract that was created. So 22 episodes, Karen, just so you know, kind of fit very nicely. 22 episodes for a long time was the standard.
Okay.
And it was kind of built around when kids were in school. You know, school and then the holidays, and it kind of worked out well that if you had 22 episodes, you could kind of get half the year, and then the other half was like kind of a spring break kind of thing, summer break.
Yeah.
And that's why they don't have, like, you know, even the newest version of Star Trek Discovery is only 15. Because it's like, we don't need to do that anymore because, you know, school's crazy. And although school's wearing my boy out right now. He is so tired right now. He thought, oh, what a good idea. I'll go podcast with Dad. This is great. It's 9 o'clock at night on a Friday. Wrong. He is so tired right now. I'm going to put him into bed. He's going to fall right asleep. So we'll make this a quick one. But in retrospect, I actually do like this one a lot. Because it is the actors and the characters getting a chance just to have fun. In the series, it takes place at a wrong, weird time. Everybody wants to see, like, Dominion and the Founders and all sort of stuff. And it's like, we're going to play baseball for 2 weeks. Like, they take 2 weeks to get ready to play baseball. Millions upon millions of people are dying every single day. And Benjamin Sisko is infatuated with playing baseball. But that's okay because he's trying to... This is sort of like our Khan episode, too.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah?
That's why I like it, yeah.
Why do you think it's like the Khan episode? Tell me.
It's because he has a strong want, and he'll do anything, even break his morals, to achieve that want.
Right. Well, he also has this kind of white whale of a nemesis.
White whale?
Oh, no, not a white whale. A white whale.
A white whale.
Oh, my gosh. This is going to be a rough one, everyone, here. He has Captain Solok, who is the Vulcan captain, who challenges him to a game of baseball right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to get his... What's that?
Right off the bat.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
You go. Just enough energy to point out that pun. You didn't like Take Me Out to the Holosuite, but you're going to call me on that? Oh, my gosh.
I love Take Me Out... What?
When I sang, Take Me Out to the Holosuite... Hollow Deep Space Nine. So there's Captain Solok, who's actually kind of a tiny Vulcan. Like, they're like, all these Vulcans are kind of like little dudes. I don't know if that's like a thing they did like on this ship. It's like, we only put tiny Vulcans on this spaceship. Because, like, I expected when they're going to introduce the lineup of the Vulcans, be like these hulking giant guys. That's the idea. They said, oh my God, there's no way we can beat these guys. But they're all kind of like 5'6" and lower. They're all like super tiny dudes of different ethnicities, different Vulcan ethnicities, which is great, and different genders, so it's okay. But like even Solok's kind of like, you know, I'm a mid-sized Vulcan. You know, like Spock was a tall Vulcan. You know, that was kind of the thing, tall and skinny. But anyways, he's this guy from the T'Kumbra, this Nebula-class spaceship. And he kind of like... he's pushing Sisko's buttons right from the start, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, you know, oh, well, I'm playing a new Earth game from a long time ago. You want to see what it is? And he hands him this little thing, and it's baseball. And so Benjamin Sisko immediately takes up the challenge to play him in baseball. He takes the bait, Kiernan. You don't take the bait. If someone goads you into something, you don't take the bait. That's my advice to you. My freshman son. My son is a freshman in high school. Can you believe that? My God. My God, man. All right, so Sisko then implores his crew, this ragtag crew, people who originally didn't like each other. They tried that. What if we had a crew of people who don't like each other, as opposed to the next generation, people who like each other? Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, but they like each other.
Well, now they like each other, but originally they didn't. That was the whole idea, is that they want to have some conflict.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess. Isn't that exactly what Gene Roddenberry didn't want?
Yes, that's right, Kiernan. See, that's where I was driving us to that point.
But Gene Roddenberry was alive when DS9 was created, right?
No, he was not. No, he had passed away.
Oh, I thought that he like supervised like the first episode.
No, he supervised the first 2 years. No, he did not. No, he would not have approved of this. He did not like the idea. He wanted it to be conflict free. And for most of Next Generation, they got that. And then
all of Next Generation.
Yeah, I mean, like in later on episodes, like every once in a while, some characters didn't like each other and kind of like would kind of.
And Worf saying that he would kill him. In his, if he
were any man, I would kill you. Well, that was, yeah, that was in First Contact. Yeah, again, they were kind of getting further and further away. But I mean, if you think about like All Good Things, where Worf and Riker had the falling out over Deanna, and they started that in Parallels, which we just watched the last little bit of it. No, we won't go back. The Borg are everywhere. Fighting the Borg. Shields giveaway. All right, so back to this episode. So Sisko, who has always been a very sporadic, sometimes really on point, sometimes I'm going to build a ship and fly it with my son. You know, like, you're going to do what? I'm going to. What about the Dominion War? Look, there's plenty of time to do that. So he decides to take 2 weeks off from the Dominion War while people are dying, and I've got a dog outside. So dog, we'll close this door and we'll. There we go. And decides to have this baseball fight with this Solok. Kieran, where are you going? Oh, you're closing that door? Okay. All right, this is not going to be our finest hour here. But, like the crew of Deep Space Nine, which slowly started getting along after a few seasons, this is the moment where I think everyone... This is the fun that you get. Now, Star Trek is known for having their just let's-have-some-fun episodes. You know, Fistful of Data's is pretty good. Piece of the Action, The Trouble with Tribbles, where it's just, yes, there's stakes, but there's also fun to be had. This episode has no stakes. There's no... The interesting thing about this one is that there is nothing at stake beyond Sisko's pride.
Yep.
You know, like if you think about, like, Fistful of Data's or what's some other...
I haven't watched that.
Okay, well, you have to watch that one. That one's ridiculous.
Yeah, you told me not to watch that one.
I did tell you not to watch. You can watch that one now. That one's ridiculous. Well, like, I didn't want you to watch, like, some terrible ones right off the bat and be like, oh, these are bad. Yeah. Fistful of Data's is... Actually, we covered this in the podcast. You can go back and listen to it, Kieran, but you don't because you're my son. You won't listen to these things.
I have listened to a lot of your podcasts, Seth.
You have?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
Well, yeah.
You're hiding things from me. Just as Benjamin Sisko was hiding things from his crew. So they get the crew together, and they're all like, yes, we'll play baseball. Sure, Benjamin, you're sort of like, you know, passive-aggressively getting us to do this. You're the commander. How can we say no? And they get this sort of ragtag group to play the Vulcans. And then we have a lot of fun and games. It's hard to even quantify the act structure on this, because it's like, okay, let's get the team ready. And then Miles O'Brien hurts his arm.
I don't know why they did that.
I don't know why they did that either. It's just like, why wouldn't they have him play? I mean... It was such a... Like, oh, I repaired the rotator cuff tear, but I can't make the ligaments. Like, yeah, what? This is the 24th century. You could beam new ligaments into his body. Stop that. I mean, why didn't they... Like, that... It's such a weird plot point where it's like, oh, I've hurt my arm,
but
so...
But it doesn't even matter. I wonder if it was just because, like, Miles O'Brien understands the game... And if they wanted to make it more, like, more people didn't know how to play the game?
Well, I mean, Miles O'Brien might not know how to play a game. I mean, and Cole Meany does not know how to play the game. I mean, he's Irish. I don't think they don't play baseball. No, they don't play baseball in Ireland.
Well,
they play, like, crickets and Coughlane, which is an Irish game. I just made that up. Colmenia. They play Colmenia out there. They're playing Colmenia out there. So I don't understand that plot point, but it happened. But I guess it facilitated the desire to bring in Cassidy Yates.
Yeah, I guess that's the only reason.
Now, why didn't they bring in Garrick? They could have brought Garrick in, too. He would have been great, right?
Yeah, that would have been so cool.
I was, like, wondering why he wasn't there. Where's General Martok when we need him, you know? I mean, or is he dead by then? I can't remember. He's still alive, right? He's alive the whole time.
Yeah, General Martok doesn't die, right?
No, he doesn't. So there's a lot of outs they could have had, another baseball term.
Oh, my God.
I had to catch it before you did. So there's a lot of other people they could get, but I guess they wanted to get Cassidy Yates in. This episode, see, maybe now I don't like this episode, but I like the intention of the episode. It's just like, let's just play baseball. Let's screw and play baseball. In the middle of the episode, we sort of learn the reason why. Kiernan, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure, Dad. So I would love to talk about the reason why. In the academy.
Okay. Spin it up, buddy.
In the academy, Captain Sisko and what's his name?
Solok.
Solok were like in the same class together, and Sisko was in a bar, and then Solok comes into the bar like talking trash about human emotions, and then Sisko gets mad about that because he's drunk, and then challenges him to a wrestling contest, and then he loses, and then Solok makes fun of him for like the rest of his life. So
yeah, from that point on, he writes a bunch of papers on the logic of Benjamin Sisko, but then somehow gets promoted to captain, basically, because he is a kind of a petty Vulcan who's for like 15 different research papers has used Benjamin Sisko's attack on him.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the thing: it's, you know, if you're in a bar, Kiernan, I hope you're never in a bar drinking heavily, and someone challenges you, like offends you or does something like that. I don't know if I've ever seen a lot of times people challenge someone to a wrestling match. I challenge you to a wrestling match. Like, it's just such a weird thing. I mean, like, he'd been drinking, and so he's going to do something impulsive, and the impulsive thing you do is take a swing at someone.
Yeah, why would you challenge them? Just, like, start a fight with them.
If you do that, you get the first punch in.
Yeah.
You know, but instead it's like, I challenge you to a wrestling match. 3 pins, you know, on the match. Let's go, you know. It's like, what are you doing? If you're that drunk, and I don't, I mean, it's like, why have so much weird planning involved, you know? I challenge you to a race from here to Michigan, you know? In sailboats through different rivers, you know? Like, okay, good. I mean, wow, you really haven't had that much to drink. You're really, really lucid, so. But I think they talked about the fact that he had wrestled in the past, so they, I don't know. It's such a weird thing. I guess my feeling about that is that he did it because if Sisko just, like, impulsively punches him, then already he's like, well, you are impulsive, and as a human, that is a bad thing to do. But if you challenge him to a wrestling match at some later date, it shows some degree of restraint. I don't know. It doesn't make... It's not a good one-to-one transfer. But and then Solok, who is supposedly, you know, showing his superiority, goes and, like, breaks his arm, like, dislocates his arm wrestling him.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's not, I mean, like, I get it, but I mean,
breaks his ribs.
And I mean, like, that's not very civilized, you know? I mean, like if you want to prove your superiority, it's like, I will prove my superiority by hurting you. No, like, you do it by, like, I have pinned you. I mean, that's, actually, wrestling is the least, like, you know, dangerous thing you can do. It's like wrestling, we're just going to, you know, grab each other.
Yeah.
Two men grabbing each other on mats. That sounds like a good way to settle an argument. I still understand that plot point, but it's okay. But now we know why. And Cassidy, who is his lover and promises not to tell anyone.
That's such a weird thing that she would do.
That she lied and told everyone.
This is like something that he really cares about and trusted her with it and like said, "Can you promise me?" And then the next scene she's like, she tells them not to tell anyone.
It's like, don't tell anyone. Like, well, you just broke that confidence. What guarantee do they have? I mean,
but then it doesn't even come up ever again.
Exactly. So as we're talking about good screenwriing, buddy. So now, Deep Space Nine has many, many good scripts. This was just like, let's just go have a good time, but this should have come back, shouldn't have?
Yeah.
Like, it should have been like, oh my God, you betrayed me. That should have been like the second act end of the All Is Lost. Sisko walks away from it. You know, Cassidy is like heartbroken the fact that she betrayed his trust.
Well, then they would add like stakes.
Right, which is okay, but then don't tell that story in the first place to Cassidy or tell everyone that story.
Well, I see why they didn't tell everyone, because then it would just feel weird if he like went up to everyone and told his like traumatic story.
But like here's a good place that we could put that in there. So like let's rebuild this story a little bit. So let's push Nog's being kicked out, because Nog gets kicked out for like it's not very dramatic, right?
Yeah.
Like, they have, like, a lot of vignettes of, like, no one being able to catch the ball. And then, like, Sisko's like, that's it, you're out, you can't do anything. It's like, what are you doing, man? Everyone here sucks. No one can do anything. Like, even, like Jake can sort of throw the ball, but not really.
Worf
is terrible.
What was Worf doing?
We'll talk about Worf, but, I mean, like, Worf is a warrior. He has no hand-eye coordination. I mean, what if we give him a bat lift? I thought he should be the best hitter, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all he does is practice with, like, a double-bladed knife at killing people, and he can't hit a ball. I mean, this is the way that you stop Worf. You throw baseballs at him.
I can't believe a Vulcan defeated a Klingon via physicality.
This is the Worf problem that they've always had, which is that Worf is theoretically the strongest,
mm-hmm.
but most of the time he is defeated in order to show you that whomever they're defeating, or whoever they're fighting, is so powerful. He would get his butt kicked over and over and over again in The Next Generation.
And then Odo's kind of weird throughout the whole episode.
Yeah, they make Odo, who's also probably a very strong creature, into the umpire.
Yeah, he's the umpire, and he should be like a batter or like a...
Yes, and get Martok and Garak instead of like, okay, we have Nog, and we have Quark, and we have Rom.
I think Nog actually does the most throughout the whole episode when you think about it.
Yeah.
He hits like 2 home runs, I think.
Does Nog hit a home run?
Yeah, no, he does. No, he's on third.
He's on third, so somehow he gets a triple at least, or he gets on base.
Yeah,
somehow
Nog is the best.
This little tiny little Ferengi somehow is one of the best players, even better than Sisko, because he only scored one run, which, like, see, here's the thing. I mean, I don't see them scoring any runs. I thought it was going to be like 55 to nothing. Which I think is actually the score in Hot Streets. Remember Hot Streets we played baseball?
Yeah, that episode reminded me too much of Hot Streets.
Oh, I don't even remember this episode.
No, I believe you.
it had some similarities for sure.
Yes.
All right, so here's what they should have done. I might have said Nog, I meant Rom, when they kick Rom off the team.
Yeah.
So they kick Rom off the team kind of in the middle, like the first third of the film, of the movie, and it's like, okay. And then everyone's like, we're going to quit. We're going to quit on your behalf. And they're like, he's like, no, don't do that, you know, because I want to sit in the stands and applaud. And it's kind of fun. It's kind of a fun little beat for him. But at the same time, what could have happened was is they fire him. Avery Brooks, Sisko fires him. And then the whole team just quits. Let's just have him quit, right? And so here he is all by himself. And he realizes, I can't do this alone. It's a great metaphor for teamwork. Because in baseball, you can't play the game alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just can't. I mean, every sport needs a team, except like, you know, tennis and golf. But so then he should have come back to everyone and said, listen, this is the reason I'm doing it, because this guy's humiliated me all these years, you know, and I just want to beat him once. And then everyone's saying, okay, great, great. And then he's like, Nog, come on back. And Nog's like, I'm sorry, I keep on saying Nog. Rom says, no, I don't want to do it. You know, I'll stay in the stands. Then it kind of still syncs up. What do you think about that, buddy?
I don't know. Even though it's better for Sisko to tell them all, I still think that having someone else tell them all seems more... I don't know. It adds something to it. But
there's no payoff to it in this one.
Yeah,
so.
That's something that I would add, some sort of payoff.
Yeah, so all right, so I just pitched you that. You said, no, Dad...
I
you're
like
not
everything
a good writer.
Except, yes, that you're a horrible writer.
You can't write for this. All right, but okay, so, but I agree with you in some instances that this is such a strange structure. It's just fun to watch them screw around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's sort of like any TV show or movie with your, like, they become your friends. You just want to see your friends have a good time.
Yeah, exactly.
And so they do have a good time. So that's why I'm not 100% opposed to the way this structure played out.
Yeah.
So they finally get there. They finally get to play the game. See, are we missing any beats in between that? They play the weird Federation National Anthem, which no one bothers to sing, and everyone takes off their hats for, including, like, you know, people who aren't necessarily part of the Federation. I guess the Ferengi are part of the Federation, but... No. But no one knows the lyrics for it. No one bothers to sing it. Everyone sits there as though it's a funeral. And then, like, they fill the stadium with fans.
Then they delete the fans.
Then they take them away.
And then they add them back.
So here's a couple things. So first of all, they shot that, I found it, Loyola Marymount.
Is that close?
Yeah, so we can probably go there at some point in time. It's in California. It's in Los Angeles.
Is it in the valley?
No, I think it's closer to Santa Monica, but we can drive there someday. It's such a tiny little baseball stadium, and if Cisco's such a huge fan, then why not do it like at Yankee Stadium?
Now that I think of that, it makes more sense, but I don't know, kind of keeping it small is like, it feels more comfortable for the story. It's more... If it's like a huge stadium, then it adds more on the characters.
Yeah, I mean, the reason they did all that was because that's the place they could get.
Yeah, obviously. I mean,
and the reason they got rid of all the fans was because, why do you think?
Pain.
Yes, because they probably were shooting like 2 or 3 or 5 or 7 days, and they had, okay, we've got 300 fans for one day, because that'd be expensive. You know, I mean, you pay them like, yeah. Karen's doing the weird rom clap.
I watched that episode 2 times. This is my 3rd time.
Oh, wow.
I like it a lot, but I still can't figure out why he did that.
Why he claps like that. He's never seen another creature clap his hand. Like, another human being clap their hands. He does this strange sort of, like, palm up, palm down kind of thing. But it's fine, because he's actually quite adorable in the stands there. And it does make for a funny beat when they take all of the audience away. And it's just Rom sitting there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun. But it would have been like if it was like, okay, let's make this interesting. Then like when Rom got up to bat at the very last time, put in all the audience and put it in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
You know, Game 7 of the World Series, and let's, you know, at nighttime and there's lights everywhere, and, you know, like, let's make it something really big.
Yeah.
But it is weird that Cisco's like, you know, we haven't practiced with fans. Let's take that away. Okay. And then,
what are you doing?
So they play the game, and, you know, there's more fun and antics there. The Vulcans score like 4 runs in the first inning, and then they don't do so well after that. I don't know why. Like, there's no explanation why suddenly they only score like one run. So the first thing they score 4 runs, and the next thing, this next 8 innings, they score 6 runs. So as far as story, it's like, well, you know, for these guys just working for like 2 weeks, they're actually pretty good against creatures who are like 3 times their strength.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a little weird. Again, like if it was like 55 to like 3, it would have been okay. Worf striking out is so bizarre. I just don't understand that. Like, Worf and Bashir should have hit a home run every single time. Because Worf is like a warrior, and Bashir's genetically modified, so he should at least be on par with the Vulcans, if not better.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, you know, we get what we get. Sisko gets thrown out.
You're out of here! Oh my god, Odo got so mad at him.
I know.
It seemed like he was, like, rooting to get Sisko out of there.
Well, he was playing his role as an umpire.
Yeah. I felt like they were kind of using the Data thing in Devil's Due, where Data was the judge, the arbiter.
Oh, right, yeah, okay, yeah.
I just kind of felt that way. I felt like we could copy and paste almost all of these characters from TNG and put them in there.
Well, yeah, this is written by one of the guys, I think it's Michael Piller, I think, he's a huge baseball fan. And the first episode of Deep Space Nine, he says that baseball no longer exists. So, like, automatically, it's like, what have you done? You just killed baseball. I mean, you love baseball, and you just killed it. So, gosh, what was that one we were talking about? Were you talking about that with me? Or no, it was... Oh, it doesn't matter. There's another episode where this guy was talking about baseball over and over again. in TNG. Anyway, so Sisko gets thrown out, learns a little bit of humility. It's coming down to the last out of the last inning. Nog, if I finally got his name right, is on third, and his own son is going up to bat. But this is when he learns that baseball is fun. Is it like, isn't that where he learns? Like, where does
no,
he learn?
No.
Who teaches him?
No.
Was it
Nog? Nog.
Wrong. Was it Nog who teaches him, or no? It's wrong.
No, Nog is the son.
That's right. Yeah, Nog is the son. He's on third.
Yeah, and then but you said something else. You said that Nog is looking at Rom as at his own son. Nog is looking at his at Rom.
Nog's on third. Who's on first? What's on second? I don't know. Who's on third, buddy? That's an old baseball routine. I don't know if you know about that. Who's on first?
Dad, I did that.
You did it? When?
Are you kidding?
Oh, okay. I remember that. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember that I did the Star Trek version? Do you know that? We have a published play, me and Matt Thompson, Stompy Thompson, called Who's on Alpha? And it's Kirk and Spock talking about baseball and doing the Who's on First routine. I'm not kidding. We'll have Matt over and we'll actually perform it someday because we have the rights to it. So... anyway, so we'll bring it all full circle. All right, so anyways, Nog is on third, Rom is in the audience, and then who is it who gives Sisko his, who tells him that, like, baseball is fun? I can't remember who it was.
Oh, baseball is fun? Who tells...
Oh, it's when he says, that's what I love about... So Sisko says, that's what I love about this game, you never know what's going to happen. Every situation is different. And then that's when he realizes that baseball is fun. Because they had that weird situation where the Vulcan, like, didn't touch third and then, like, went back into the dugout and sat there. And it was, like, this weird, like, almost Vulcan racist thing. It's like, oh, Vulcans look alike, you know? And he's tagging each and every single one of them. Where I guess technically that Vulcan would have been out because as soon as you go into the dugout, if you haven't touched home, you're out.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Wow.
All right, so... So Sisko finds that reason. He comes into himself that baseball is fun, and he again does an illegal thing and tells Kolmini to put Rom in the game, and Rom changes very quickly, evidently, and changes into his outfit and goes up there and gets ready to hit strike one, strike two, and then they talk about the bunt, right? And then what happens?
Yes.
Remember what happened?
The bunt, and then they don't win, but they celebrate.
Yeah, because he leans forward to listen to what they're saying, and then the ball accidentally hits the bat. Yeah, they give him the weird signal. They're all giving the signal, which is really cute. And then the ball hits the bat, and then Nog sits there and makes weird faces and runs. I'm sorry. God, I can't get these two guys.
Rom.
So Rom makes all these faces. Then Nog runs home. He slides, he beats the tag, Rom gets the first base, and then all the Niners rush out and lift him up and carry him.
Solok goes up to Odo and says, this is illegal. And then Odo doesn't listen, and then he taps him and he's like, you're out of here!
That's right. So, because it probably was... I don't know if it was illegal. It probably was illegal. You probably can't carry a man who's on base off the base, like, during the game. Like, it's such a weird thing where they're just like... And I don't know if you noticed, but, like, it was the girls who carried Rom off the base. It's so weird. It's like it's Lita and Kira Nerys are grabbing Rom and carrying him... Like, in Celebration, when you have, like, Big Strong Worf and, like, Jake and Benjamin Sisko and Kolmini, Bashir, genetically engineered Bashir, they could all be carrying him off. And instead, it's, like, these two, like, slight women are carrying him. And they're doing an admirable job, but it's really hard for them. Because, I mean, he's a heavy dude, you know? He's got all that prosthetic stuff. And, like, if you really watch them, they're like, oh, this is hard.
I didn't notice that.
It was really a struggle for them. It was really strange. So Odo overlooks all of that because that, in some reason, he didn't get to that part of the rule book where, you know, Section 10, Part A, it is illegal to grab a member of your own team and carry them from first base to the dugout, cheering as you go. So Solak protests, he gets thrown out, gets his comeuppance, but not really, because, I mean, they still won the game.
Yes.
Then they go to Quark's, they all go to Quark's, and they're celebrating, and then Solak comes up and says, aha, you're just manufacturing this win. And then they taunt him relentlessly, as only humans and Ferengi
and Dax symbiotes
can do.
Did I forget to wear my spots today?
Oof, boy. So they all taunt him and get him angry, which is like the worst human trait. Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, again, like, so what is the lesson we're to learn here is that he shows up and they're like, oh, looks like he's getting upset. Yeah, I'll definitely say he doesn't look like he's going to get upset. He was just saying, oh, you guys are manufacturing this thing. And like, yeah, oh, boy, you know, I haven't seen someone this angry for a long time. It's like, you're terrible humans now because you lost and then you're gloating over the fact that you lost. So that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it was still a nice moment. Mm-hmm. And he got the signed ball.
Yeah, and the threw up in the air, and that's a weird ending moment, but like...
Oh, I liked that. I liked it when he threw the ball up in the air, and it kind of floats in slow motion, and then it becomes the
Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it becomes Deep Space Nine, I was thinking of some stupid imagery of the ball... Well, not imagery. What's it called?
Symbolism. Yeah.
Where the ball is Deep Space Nine, and it still has to be caught.
Ah.
It's floating up in the air, and it still has to be caught by the Dominion or...
Oh, interesting, yeah. I like that by you. Oh, yeah, look at he's patting himself on the back there. Yeah, you can't see that in a podcast. So, I'm glad, Karen, that you showed this to me again, you know? I mean, Karen, how many times have I taken you to a baseball game?
One.
Really, one?
Yes.
Oh, I don't remember that. I thought it was going to be zero. Which one did I take you to?
Are you kidding? This is the Tigers.
Oh, that's right, the Tigers game. That's right. Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. Gosh, thank you, buddy. I was sort of ashamed after watching this, thinking I haven't taken my son to a baseball game. But I did take you to a baseball game. We took me and my dad, Grand Llama. This is the name he's chosen, not me. He wants to be called
Grand Llama.
We went to go see the Tigers game, and we went for a few innings, and then you enjoyed it so much that we left, right?
Yay.
Yeah, we went for like three innings, and we left. So
bored.
But it was actually a boring game. I will say that, like, it was, like, strikeouts and, like ground balls to first, and it was, like...
I don't even remember anything. It was just... I just remember looking at tiny men throwing balls.
Yes. Please don't misconstrue that. I don't know what that means, but... Yes, it was. I have to admit that, like, first of all, it was hot, and we saw, three innings, and it was just the worst baseball you can watch, which is sometimes what baseball is. Baseball is a game of patience. Your daddy, me, I played baseball for 3 years, and it was so boring at times.
Yeah.
You sit there in the outfield, and nothing happens, especially when you're younger, because the kids can't hit it out that far, so you're just picking dandelions and doing nothing, and then if the ball finally does come to you, like, after sitting, like, for, like, an hour and a half, you don't know what to do, because you're like... I have no reference. I can pick a dandelion, but I can't catch this ball. So it is a slow sport. It's kind of boring, but we'll have to, you know, Matt and Jason, they love it. So we'll have to ask them about it. Maybe we'll do a stage reading of Who's on Alpha, and then we can talk about more baseball and Star Trek.
Yay.
But this is good. This is a nice little impromptu little podcast, buddy. So, and now you've got to get ready to go to bed. So
what time is it?
It's 9:40, so you have a little bit of time. So, buddy, thank you so much for joining me here on this. Should we sing Take Me Out to the Hollow Suite one more time?
Sure.
Take me out to the Hollow Suite. Take me out to the crowd. You don't know the words. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. Deep Space Nine is mighty fine. Deep Space Nine has Chief Miles O'Brien. All right, thank you very much for listening. I'm Mike McCafferty.
I'm Kieran McCafferty.
And I just want to talk about
Star Trek.
perfection.
When the train comes in, everybody rides.
Okay, sorry to bother you postscript of all of this, but I don't know if I'm supposed to do this ad right now, so I'm just going to do it after the fact, because I thought they were going to send me some stuff, but I'm supposed to be doing this thing for Mack Weldon, this underwear, this, I guess we didn't get the Quip toothbrush, that's done, forget about that, don't buy those, but now we're talking about Mack Weldon, and this is undergarments, I guess. And the things I'm required to say, share a personal experience while browsing the site, where you would wear it. Well, I haven't done any of that. So here, let's just do this thing. So if you go to Mack Weldon and visit MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code TREK, T-R-E-K at checkout, you're going to get 20% off. That's pretty good no matter what, right? So here you are, you're getting free content. And I'm telling you, if you want to buy underwear, and there's a word I'm not supposed to use, synonymous with underwear, but you use TREK at the checkout, you're going to get 20% off. Why not just do that? Just do that. And do it like because I haven't set up a Patreon or any of that kind of stuff, like do that so they get, oh, look, we got a little tick on a TREK promo code. Great. Like, thanks, Mike. And that's it. So that's all I'm going to tell you for right now. Just do that. MackWeldon.com and then put in TREK at the promo code. Maybe I'll do it. See what I get.